Lots happening in the church family. Today is the beginning of a 5S series. Normally in the fall, we launch out with that as a reminder of our vision for our church family. And this year is no exception. We're doing that again, talking through the 5S's in the next set of weeks. This year's a little bit different. We actually prayed and looked through pastors' meetings. Who identifies best, we believe, with each of the S's? And so today, we are focused on surrender, the life of Abraham. Hard to encapsulate that guy's life in a short period of time. We're going to do our best today. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis 11. We're going to spend a lot of time there and a little bit of time in Genesis 12 today to talk through a man who consistently displayed in his life surrender. Our five S's, of course. The first, surrender. Surrendering our lives to Jesus. It happens when we yield our lives to Him. We surrender our lives. And from every moment thereafter, we surrender to Him as our King, as our Savior. Next, sustaining. What is that? Sustaining our lives. Staying committed and devoted to Him and His word and prayer in our lives by His power. Being able to continue to walk with Him as the days pass. Next, of course, sharing our faith with others, sharing the testimony of what God has done in our lives, the lives of others, shining for Him, allowing Him to come through our lives in a dark, lost, challenged world, and then sacrifice, sacrificing our time, our talents, our resources, our abilities to bring more glory to Him where He can continue to work and move and use us in any way that He would call to. The 5S series, that is who we are. Blue Valley Baptist Church, that is what we strive for, living out as followers of Jesus, the five S's in every way. Well, Abraham as well did that. If you are a follower of Jesus, you know very well, regardless of whether it's been a day or it's been 100,000 days for you, however many days you've lived to this point of knowing Jesus, our call is Luke 9:23. If we deny ourselves, called to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and to follow Him. That's the calling of a follower of Jesus. And it's challenging at times to live that out in our lives, especially the front part, the denial. Surrendering to Jesus as King and everything in our lives is hard. Why is it hard? Because we forget where our true citizenship is. The world and the lies it contains say this is it. This is our spot. This is our place. Get everything you can. Live life in every way you're able to, because once you finish this life, your true home, that's it. It's over. It's done. Or other religions teach other things, but we know, New Testament, our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is truly in heaven. So we work and we build and we do and we accumulate, thinking that for whatever reason it's going to bring joy to our lives. And we forget in the meantime, the day in, day out, that our true home is not here. It's waiting for us. New Testament, Jesus consistently talked about the kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of heaven is this. And He continued to communicate to the disciples and to those who followed Him, all listeners, your home is not here, your home is coming. And it's good for us to remember that, we are, according to 1 Peter 2:11, aliens and strangers in a dark world. It's strange to be called an alien. We think of Captain America or something else and the images that come of aliens, but we are truly, in this place, aliens or strangers. Unlikely in a place that is not our home. Well, Abram, as well, was a stranger or an alien because of his commitment to God. So Genesis 11 is our starting point. It actually predates Abram, but it's important for us to get some context. So let's read Genesis 11, starting with verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, there are one people, they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of the earth. If you remember Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, God told them, be fruitful and multiply this group of people. That was their call as well. Be fruitful, go about the earth, and multiply. So what do? They were fruitful, they multiplied, and they settled. God's direct command to his people, the people group, was to go be dispersed throughout the entire earth. Be fruitful and multiply. But they chose, instead of following what God had called them to, we're not going to go, we're not going to disperse, we're going to be settled. We think this is better. This is better for us. So what did they do? They disobeyed God. So what did God do? Well, he showed up, but not in a way they expected. They were trying to build this tower to reach the heavens. And God said, well, that's about enough of that. I'm going to change that language up. You're going to get dispersed throughout the earth. And we'll see where it goes with you at that point. Well, sure enough, he came in. He dispersed. They went different places. And it wound up going the direction that he needed it to. God showed up in a different way than they expected. They disobeyed. Well, Abram's dad, Terah, we're going to read about in Genesis 11, 31, was of the same calling. Go, be fruitful, multiply, go throughout the earth. So in 11:31, Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Okay, so here's his command. Go, be fruitful, multiply, go throughout the earth. What did he do? Went, fruitful, multiplied, settled. So once again, we see in the life of Abram's dad, disobedience to God's call and command in his life. Repeated theme. Now obviously, God was in the move of Terah to this location. Obviously, he was in it. But for him to stop and settle and say, this is where we're supposed to be, was direct disobedience to God. So we see a repeated pattern. We can understand fully, can't we, being disobedient to God. Holy Spirit speaks to us consistently throughout the week. I want you to share me with that person. We get the impression upon our heart, that person needs Jesus, open your mouth and say something. Well, surely that's not God telling me that. That's got to be something else, some other voice. And so we rationalize our way out of it. I'm not actually going to speak about Jesus in a public setting because what will that mean for me? What will that mean for me at work? What will that mean for me with my friends, my neighbors? You know, on this one, I don't think it's the Holy Spirit. I think, it's just some kind of a weird gut. I'm going to excuse it and kick it off. Here's another one. God is calling me to be the hands and feet to my neighbor, and so I need to mow their grass to give opportunity for me at some point to open my mouth. It's not raining, but it sure looks like it. Okay, so you get the point. God impresses upon our hearts through the Holy Spirit often to respond to his voice and to be obedient. We have choices in those moments. Are we going to respond to him, be obedient, or are we not? More times than not, we're disobedient. So we can fully understand where they're going and why they're making their decisions to do that. why they chose, instead of going throughout the earth and doing as God had called them to do, to settle. They had the same call that we do. We must surrender to the sovereignty of God. Challenging for us to do that at points. Challenging for Abram, challenging for this people group. Look in chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. We catch up with Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, immediate obedience. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. We can appreciate and respect being obedient to the voice of God to move. Maybe you've had a watershed moment like Kevin and Candace this morning. God is calling us to Alabama. We're supposed to go work with kids and students and families. We will be obedient. We will go. Another specific example today, Wynn Pruitt and Melissa, our new intern from Midwestern, God called their family from Indiana to come to Kansas City to go to Midwestern Seminary. They had to make a decision. God, will we go? When? Right? Will we go or are we going to stay? Very much a part of a family decision. Let's follow the voice of God. Let's go. Those are two specific examples of God calling people out to go and serve and to respond. Surely there have been moments like that in your life as well, where God has spoken directly and said, go and do, and you went and you did. Regardless of the cost. Abraham, think about what he left behind. He took his nephew Lot and he took his immediate family, but who did he leave? He left his dad. He left his family. He left all that he knew. He left the family business. He took up root and he followed the voice of God. In spite of the consequences, and for Abraham, he didn't have FaceTime. Right? He couldn't just call his dad and say, hey, how are things going? Once you left your family, that was pretty much it. Thank our God for producing opportunities for us to be able to communicate with our family across the seas. Didn't have that opportunity. So the first question for us in that is, if God called us to go and do and be, would we step out and do? Go and be. Here's a greater question. If you have kids, regardless of age, and God calls them to go, Dad, I feel led to go to Africa. 13-year-old. Mom, I'm supposed to go to India. 9-year-old. What's our response oftentimes, parents? Well, that's really good. We'll see what happens. Okay. How's your lunch? We don't really want to have that conversation necessarily all the time with our kids. If God calls them away, what's our response to be as parents? That's awesome. We need to together, as a family, continue to run after the Lord. And if that becomes your calling, I'm with you, I'm in. And if it's not, and he redirects, he can redirect as he chooses. But oftentimes we pull back. It makes us nervous. We live in a challenging world. We live in a dangerous place. There is nothing about our world that is safe, even in Kansas City. Do we celebrate as much the call of God in the lives of our family members who know him, our kids, parents, particularly, as we do in his call in our own life? Are we willing to have a sticky mess? Challenging. Are we really running after him? George Mueller, unbelievable 19th century in England example of a guy that did just that. His quote, working with orphans, being vested fully, one of his quotes, Derek actually found this in his message prep, and I'm using it, said this, I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. 9/10 of the trouble with people is just here. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it will have no will of its own. So the first challenge for us is to be able to pray the same. God, remove my will from it. Help me to listen to your voice and follow you. Though we see times of significant intervention and powerful moments of God's presence in Genesis 12, we see a disturbingly quiet period of time in the life of Abraham and his calling, the very thing in which he based his life and allegiance and submission to God. Silence is hard. I went to SBU in 1991. Okay, there's the date. Transferred from Wichita State. I was so excited. First time I ever had private Christian education. I was so excited. I got to pray in class. I got to do a whole bunch of different things I would have never had opportunity to do. So in August, my first semester, there was a revival that week. If you've been around for a while, you know what revivals are. That's where someone comes in and they speak messages for the week, and you really want God to move and do great things. And so I really felt like he was speaking that week into my life. It was great. And then the week after, it was like it just, the voice of God just stopped. Lasted for about 3.5 months. I was praying, I was reading my Bible, going to class, mom and dad, right? Taking care of my business, doing what I was supposed to do, placing myself in a position to hear the voice of God. I was sharing my faith, sharing the gospel. And every time I prayed, it was like, boom, ceiling back down. Every time. And it was frustrating. And I had to make a decision. I'd known the Lord at that point for 5.5 years. I had to make a decision. Am I going to continue following Christ? Is at some point his voice going to start to speak in my life again, or is this it? Am I going to continue to yield? Well, after about 3.5 months, I can't remember what it was that sparked it, but I heard God's voice in my life again. Revealed a couple of things that I wouldn't have seen earlier that have really made me, in some respects, who God has made me to be today. But when the silence broke, I can remember the joy that I felt. Thank you, God, for still speaking. Where are you today? How long has it been since you've heard the direct voice of God in your life? Has it been a while? Does it feel like when you pray, it's bouncing off the ceiling and coming right back? You're not seeing movement? Are you frustrated? In spite of it, are you still surrendered? Are you still yielded? Are you still striving and running after God in spite of not being able to hear his voice? It's a testing of our faith. Where's your trust level? Or have you run the other direction? If you've come out of a time like that in your life, you can recognize the hand of God even in spite of the silence. What's he doing? He's drawing us closer to himself, desiring that our trust fully rest in him. Have you surrendered to the silence of God? Have I? Abraham did. He continued. He still believed God in the ups and downs of his life. Continued to submit, even in the monotony of the day in, day out. So not only are we to pray, Lord, help me to have no will of my own, but we also need to pray, help me to faithfully do what I know to do, in spite of. Lastly, we surrender to the scrutiny of God. 25 years of waiting, and God finally said to Abraham and Sarah, you'll be parents next year, finally. And to confirm the promise, God changed Abram's name to Abraham, a word which means the prince of people or father of many. God was going to make Abraham a great nation. When Isaac was born, he represented everything God was promised to do for Abraham. And oh, how Abraham loved his son Isaac. You would think that the testing of Abraham would be over at his birth, but it wasn't. He'd been faithful to God. He was an old man. And you think that the rest of his life would be a celebration. But instead, something happened. Look at Genesis 22. We're almost done. Genesis 22, 1 through 3. After these things, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early. He was obedient immediately. Saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. He was obedient. Did Abraham know that God was going to stop his hand? I don't know. It doesn't say. It leans that way. Did Abraham know there was going to be a ram in the bush? No. Probably not. Did Abraham think this was a test? I don't know. It doesn't say. What I do know is that it says he was obedient in spite of. And then you go to verse 12. And God showed up in a different way than he did at the Tower of Babel. He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God." A life dedicated to God, 75 years plus to the point of his age. "Now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." He was willing to give everything, everything to him. God had no intention of letting Abraham go through with the plan, but Abraham was obedient immediately. He was just wanting to see if there was anything in Abraham's life that he placed above God. Because if there is, Abraham still wasn't fully surrendered to Jesus as his king. But there was nothing that Abraham placed ahead of God. How are we doing with that? How are you doing with that? How am I doing with that? Are we placing things before him? To daily submit to Jesus as king means I'm not holding anything back. So not only do we pray, "Not my will, take my will from me. Let me have your will only." Not only do we pray, "God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, however you want me to submit, I will submit. I will go. I will be faithful." But he also calls us to not hold anything back from him. That's where the rubber hits the road for us. For those of you who don't know that phrase, where the tires actually hit pavement when you're driving. Who's driving our life? Our lives? You? Me? Or a pattern of King Jesus, because he's the one who gets the spot when we surrender to him? Are we holding back?